Okay, well, it's good to see everyone here this morning that's here. Just wanted to mention that Pat called this morning and said they weren't going to try to make it out. And also got a call from Leanne, Vaughn, and David almost has pneumonia. So he's sick. And it wasn't doing this yesterday when she called. And I said, well, I figured I saw what the weather was going to be. You know, I thought maybe you weren't going to be here. But anyway, he's sick. That's why they're not here. And the weather would have stopped him anyway. But we need to keep him in our prayers. And she also told me that Cliff Jones' left side of his heart stopped beating a couple of nights ago or sometime here recently. Well, it had to be recently. He's in ICU at Liberty, but they got his heart back going, but they were still doing tests on him and things like that. So he's in the ICU, last I heard, at Liberty Hospital. So we need to remember Cliff in our prayers. I did say Cliff, right? Okay. I thought there for a second maybe I said Bud, but it's not Bud, it's Cliff Jones. So we want to remember him in our prayer, in our prayers. This morning, we're going to look at a passage again that we looked at last week when I presented a lesson. That's Matthew chapter 21. And we'll start there again. A lot of this will sound familiar, but it's not the same lesson we had last week, I assure you. But I just wanted to go over some of the stuff we talked about and get the scripture for the lesson. So, Matthew chapter 21, we'll start at verse 23. Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 23 says, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? In verse 24, Jesus turns the question on them, saying, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. In verse 25, the baptism of John, where is it from? From heaven or from men? This is the second part of the lesson entitled, From Heaven or From Men. We'll be looking at some more of the things that are being done today in the religious world, and then ask the question, is this from heaven or from men? Let's start this morning by recapping who has authority. And I'm not going to give as many scriptures as I gave last week because several of the scriptures that go along with this are in one of the things we're looking at this morning. So we'll look at them later on. Matthew 28 and verse 28. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So we find here that Jesus has all authority. And we'll start now with number one. Is it from heaven or from men? Creed books, canons, and latter-day revelations, etc. Are these from heaven or from men? If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. These two verses clearly show that all we need to be complete and thoroughly equipped people of God are the scriptures. We are commanded by God not to add to or take away from his word. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now some will try to twist these verses and make you think that these verses are talking about Revelation. That's not true. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. Actually, we'll start at verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything away from it. That you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. God has commanded his people all throughout the Bible not to add to or take away from his word. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 6. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let them be accursed. Let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, last week we read John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My friends, ask yourself this question. If Jesus is the Word of God, and he is, then is the religious group you're involved in, by changing the commands of God to fit what they want, an attempt to change Jesus Christ? And you may be asking yourself, why would I ask that question? But this is going to be on a radio program next week, so I'm directing it towards people in the audience of the radio. But it applies here, because you could get that question in your attempts to teach someone. If you truly love Jesus, if you truly love Jesus Christ, you will obey his commandments, John 14 and verse 15, not attempt to change him. Let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 68. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Let me back up here a little bit. Let's start at verse 65. And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, you also want to go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. No one can claim to love Jesus Christ and then turn on him by changing his commandments. If you would, look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God is various and strange. Creeds and canons, Latter-day revelations, etc., are not from God. They're from men and should be rejected. Number two, some religious groups preach that Jesus will return to the earth for a 1,000-year reign. Is this from heaven or from men? If you would, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? My friends, what is Jesus going to come back to earth for? This scripture says the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works will be burned up. If that's the case, and the Bible says it is, then how will Jesus reign on something that's not here? Furthermore, look what the Bible teaches in John chapter 17 and verse 4. John chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have sent me, have given me to do. Jesus doesn't have any work left to do on this earth. He's already done that work. This passage shows Jesus talking to God and saying that he's finished the work that he was sent to do. He has no reason to come back to this earth. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll start at verse 1. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Friends, the time to prepare for Jesus' second coming is now. Do not delay. Number three, religious organizations that claim to have someone on earth that is the head of the church. Is this from heaven or from men? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read 22 and 23. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Also, while we're in Ephesians, let's look at chapter 5 and verse 23. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Also, let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's start at verse 13. He He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. These verses clearly state who is the head of the church. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And let's start at verse 1. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes of His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries, if I'm pronouncing that right, broad, and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places and feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you all are brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, He who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Look closely at these scriptures and read them again, and then read verse 12 again. "And whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Is the religious organization you're involved in exalt someone as head of the church when the true head of the church is Jesus Christ? Having someone in this position in the church is not from heaven, it's from men. Number 4, the name of the church in which you attend. Is it from heaven or is it from men? Through the Bible you can see the importance of names, yet we're told there's nothing in a name. If this is true, then there would be an identity crisis. No one would be able to distinguish one thing from another, especially in religion. How absurd. Did God ever say there's nothing in a name? On the contrary, just the opposite is true. For everywhere you look in the Bible, you can see the importance of names. How about Abraham, Jacob, Israel, Jesus? Can you honestly say there's nothing in a name? The same is true with the Church of the Lord. By understanding what the church is, we understand the name given to it. Thus we turn our attention to Christ, who said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Let's go ahead and look at the whole scripture. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Actually, we'll start at verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The word church means the called out. It was used to refer to an assembly, congregation, or gathering of people. Jesus used a common word that referred to physical Israel to now refer to this new Israel that He was going to build. As God had only one people under the old covenant, physical Israel, so He only has one people under the new covenant, spiritual Israel. Therefore, God's new people must somehow be identified. Jesus did not promise to establish many groups of called-out people, known as denominations, sects, or cults, which have their own, each having their own choice as to what to teach and how to teach it. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Well, we're already close to Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 9. Actually, we'll start at verse 8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And also verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. What a person must realize is that the Lord's church does not have an official name. It is described in the New Testament as my church, Matthew 16, 18, the churches of Christ, Romans 16 and verse 16, the church of the Lord, Acts 20 and verse 28, the church of the firstborn in Hebrews 12, 23, the church, Acts 8, 1 and Ephesians 3 and verse 10, and the church of God, Galatians 1, 13, and 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. These are not different names used to describe different denominations. They are terms used to point out one body of people who belong to Christ. So when we use any of these terms just mentioned, we mean the spiritual body, the called out body, of which Christ is the founder and owner. The different denominations identified by different names originated with men give honor to some person, ordinance or church government, and thus divert honor from Christ to men. You cannot read the Bible and find the names of denominational churches. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit gave Christ the highest honor in all things, Colossians 1 and verse 18. Yet that honor has been stripped from Christ by denominational names which exalt and honor men. Never in the New Testament was the church ever mentioned in such a way as to give the preeminence to those who compose it. What is the name of the church where you attend? Is the name from heaven or from men? Friends, the last couple of lessons we've looked at 11 topics that are taught in the religious world and asked the question, is this teaching from heaven or from men? We have the very Word of God to guide us in our lives. If you would look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's read verses 2 and 3. 2 Peter 1 verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Friends, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you would, look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll start at verse 1. John 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 1 and verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's verse 14. My friends, can you see that the way, the truth, and the life are in Jesus Christ, and we can find that way, the truth, and the life by opening the Bible and reading the New Testament. God is warned against adding to and taking away from His Word all throughout the Bible, which is why we always say, search the Scriptures and find out what God wants you to do. The creeds and other books that man has devised in the religious world will not stand up on the day of judgment. Let's look at John 12, verses 47 and 48. John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We have to continue to search God's word and be ready for the judgment day. That's the lesson this morning. We encourage you, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you confess the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you repent of your sins, and want to turn away from them, and you want to be immersed in water, we can help you with that this morning. If you've already obeyed the gospel and need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that as well, if you would come forward as we stand and sing.